You're listening to Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. We just finished going through the book of Genesis and took a little detour into a very old sermon written shortly after the Messiah was crucified and buried and resurrected. This is written during the 70th week, Daniel's 70th week, the latter half of the week, because this is about the time that the message goes out from the kingdom of Israel, the children of the kingdom, and the 70th week is finished, and then the gospel goes to the nations. So this is about that time, if I had to place when this sermon was given by one of the very first martyrs, and that was Stephen. An excellent sermon, and when you consider who he's speaking to and where he's speaking in the synagogue, and he is speaking to his brethren who are coming after him and bringing accusations, basically holding a court right there in the synagogue, complete with black-robed, I don't know if they were black-robed, but I would liken it to the black-robed judges, prosecuting attorneys and false witnesses, the whole scene. And he preaches this beautiful sermon to them. And in the middle of the sermon, I was taking a minute to comment on part of his sermon where he says that Moses, seeing one of his brethren, he supposed that his brethren would have supposed how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not, because they did not understand their position of slavery. Basically, they did not understand who they were, where they were, and what I was doing is likening that to the position that we are in this land, which I'm going to call spiritual Egypt and spiritual Sodom. People don't know that they're not free, and people have been so deceived that they actually believe they're free. And even the church has been taken captive by the enemy. And it seems like the gates of hell have prevailed against the church. But I'm going to tell you who they have not prevailed against. They have not prevailed against the ecclesia, the called out ones, those true believers, the remnant, followers of Yahshua, those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And that is the same ecclesia that has been here from the beginning, starting with Adam and Eve, when they stood before their high priest at the first sacrificial event. That was the first ecclesia. And we're still here. And we're supposing that our brethren will understand, but they don't seem to understand. They don't even seem to want to understand. And perhaps it's because of the thing that they don't want to give up. And have you ever been deceived? I haven't. Just kidding. We've all been deceived at some time in our life, if we're old enough. Either that or we're too stupid to be deceived. But nobody wants to admit to that. So, yes, we have all been deceived. Is it possible that we've been deceived and we still don't know it? Well, the nature of deception says, yeah, that's true. Because if you're deceived, that means you don't know it. That's what deception is all about. So once we admit that we have been deceived in the past, we have to admit that we could be deceived about some things and still not know it. And, you know, one of the things that comes with deception is denial. Nobody wants to admit to being deceived. We all have a measure of pride, don't we? And pride and deception, they go hand in hand, don't they? Well, they have to. So we've established that, you know, if you're honest, we've established that we've all been deceived. And once we establish that we've all been deceived and we have to admit it, then the truth is, another truth is that we have to admit that we could be deceived right now about some things and still not know it because of the nature of deception. Wow, that's fairly sobering. But that's what the truth is. You know, that's someone who loves the truth has to make admissions like that to himself. And someone who continues in their denial in the face of the statements that I just made is someone who doesn't love the truth. That at any cost, they will continue to deny the possibility that they could be deceived. They will defend their deception because of their pride. And it will be their pride that will keep them from the truth. But Yahshua said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But you have to know the truth first. You have to accept the truth. You have to accept the truth to expose the deception. And I was talking about the church as a corporate body has been taken captive and incorporated with the state. And this has been done by deception. But when you bring it up, and I stood in assembly, and I went to a board of elders once at a church that I attended for 8 years. And I started learning these things. And there were three of us who went before the board and confronted the board on the issue of incorporating with the state, the deception and all that. And we asked them, because we thought, well, if we can get to them to admit that there is no scriptural authority for this, that the scripture is actually against it, then perhaps that they'll leave off the deception and depart from this ungodly alliance with the state, this unlawful alliance with the state. But they did not. We asked them. Here was our question. We went to one meeting, one elders meeting, and we said, we would like a scriptural authority for the church being incorporated with the state as you are, you know, and we want our answer from the scripture, and nothing else will be adequate for us. I mean, basically, that was the point, that we want to know where the authority is in the scripture. So we waited 2 weeks for the next elders meeting, because it was a fair size congregation, and they met regularly, and everyone was welcome. Everyone who attended the congregation or anyone in the public was welcome, because all corporate meetings are, you know, have to be open to the public because they're state corporations. So we went to the meeting, and we got their answer. And they had written down a list, and guess where their answer came from? Well, their answer was, which reminds me of another scripture from Psalm 1, which says, blessed is the man who walketh not, and the key word there is not, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And is that the position the church is supposed to take? We're supposed to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? But their answer was not, thus saith the Lord, or a chapter and verse from Scripture. Their answer came from their accountant. Wow, the accountant is in charge of the church and in charge of church policy. Our accountant said, and of course the accountant lied, and perhaps the accountant was telling the truth as he knew it. But if you know a lie and you believe a lie and you tell a lie, even if you believe it to be true, is it still a lie or is it now the truth? Now, it's still a lie, isn't it? But he gave, you know, the regular reasons. And that was their answer to us. Okay, why? Why was that their answer? Because of the thing. You know, here was the thing that was going to keep this body from the face of God. The thing was this: the benefits from the state. Ungodly benefits. They weren't looking to our Heavenly Father for the benefits. And I love this one. Well, this is how God provides. Oh, really? God provides through unlawful means. No, He doesn't provide through unlawful means. If He says, you know, if the commandment says, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not covet, is the Heavenly Father going to provide through covetousness and theft? No. So you have the witness of Scripture was lying against them. Because how about forcing charity? Is there a place in the Scripture where our Heavenly Father forces charity? No, He says He wants us to give with a cheerful heart. You know, but I got a gun here. And if you don't give, we're going to throw you in jail. We might even kill you if you resist enough. There's plenty of examples of that, of people who resisted the income tax. So, because they did not want to volunteer their charity and other things, because that's how they fund it, you know, through force. So you have theft and you have covetousness, because when you take from the feed from the public trough, you're taking what someone's going to steal from your brethren. You're going to covet. You're coveting that which belongs to your brethren. And you can't force charity either. There's no cheerful heart. I have yet to meet the man that says, oh boy, I can't wait to pay my income tax. I can't wait for him to take a little bit out of my check every month to support these ungodly things. And that's what you have. So what is it that they don't want to give up? What is the thing? Well, it's the giving, one. Because they know if they say, you can no longer deduct your giving to the church from your income taxes because we are not estate corporations. You can give, but you know what? They may be able to dispute it and win because we have no records to show them or whatever. Because that's happened over and over. There's been few instances where people have, where church bodies have withdrawn from the corporate status of the state. And the first thing that happens is that they start labeling you anti-government and half of the congregation leaves because they can't deduct their giving and get benefits from the state for giving. Well, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And that's from the lips of Yahshua, of course translated into the King James English. They have their reward. So if you give and take a deduction, you have your reward. That's it. That's your reward. Yes, we know you're being a wise steward. We know all of the arguments that the devil whispers in your ear to justify what you're doing. But he said, when you give your alms, when you give with a cheerful heart, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And your Father who sees in secret, he shall reward you openly. Well, I think you lose that reward because you're saying you're not keeping from your left hand what your right hand is doing if you're telling the state. I mean, that's way beyond your left hand. Your right hand, your left hand. You know, here Yahshua, our master's drawing an illustration, and, you know, he was the great illustrator. Your left hand is attached by your body to your right hand. If you aren't supposed to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you're giving, but Jesus didn't understand that you have to let your left hand and the state know what you're doing because you won't be a wise steward. He'll understand, right? It's the doctrine of wise stewardship, right? And then the thou shalt be a wise steward. That's the 11th commandment, perhaps. You know, and that trumps anything the Messiah says to justify the benefit that we don't want to lose. Forget none of his benefits. Yeah, I must be talking about the benefits of Caesar or the benefits of incorporation with the state and an ungodly alliance. And yes, we entered into it by deception. What do we hold on to it now? Because of all the little lies? Because of all the little justifications? Do we continue to hold on to this ungodly alliance? When Paul said, if you can be made free, rather choose it, I can be made free. And that's what Moses is saying to the children of Israel, to his brethren here. Hey, we can be made free. Don't you understand? You're a slave. Don't you understand? Well, one, they don't want to move. They don't want to leave the land of Egypt. They've forgotten about the promised land. They've forgotten about the promises of God. And idolatry has crept in, and all, you know, the influence of the Egyptians. I mean, they're right there. You know, they may be in their own little neighborhood in Goshen, but they're right outside Egypt in the suburb of Goshen. And the Egyptian influence is having an effect on them. And yes, they're paying the 20% tax. I don't read where it was done away with. You know, it seems right that they should pay their fair share like all the other Egyptian slaves. But they're Egyptian slaves. You know, I mean, they're the patriots of Egypt. But, you know, the children of Israel and Goshen, well, you know, maybe they're more identifying with the Egyptians as 400 years goes on. Imagine it, 400 years. You know, and, you know, how long have we tarried in the land of Egypt? You know, and how much a part of it? Are we patriarchs? Are we patriots? I should say, are we patriots of the governments of men around us? Are we patriots of the kingdom of Yahuwah, the ecclesia, the ones that are looking forward to the promised redemption? Are you part of the remnant? Do you belong to his ecclesia, the kingdom of Yahuwah, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? Whatever name you want to give it, it's all the same. Are you the called out ones? Are you part of us? Well, they didn't understand. He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood it not. Another point I was going to make on that is we've all been deceived. I admit it. You should admit it. We've all entered into contracts, or maybe perhaps our parents entered into a contract for us. And the Social Security. Yeah, I have to go there, don't I? Because probably most of the people speaking have volunteered. by deception. You wanted to do a good thing. You wanted to go out and earn your own bread. You wanted to go out and by the sweat of your brow work, because if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So you went out and you to get a job, and they said, oh, you got to get a social security number to work. Well, the agents of deception told you that, and perhaps because they believed it themselves. But because they believed it, was it true? You don't need to make a deal with the devil to work, but they don't tell you that you're making a deal with the devil, do they? Have you sold your soul? And that's something I liken it to, is selling your soul. Could you sell your soul through deception? I mean, just think. Nah. You know, Satan, the enemy of ages, would not work that hard throughout the ages to come up with a diabolical, sinister plan to get you to sell your soul by deception, would he? Nah. Satan wouldn't do that, would he? Or would he? I don't know. I think he would. You know? I mean, if he jumped up in front of you and he said, hey, look, you know what? I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. And when you get old, I'll send you a check every month. And we'll even give you drugs. Hey, drugs, man. And, pharmacia. Yeah. We'll give you drugs, too. We got a drug plan for you. You know, don't worry about a thing. You know, just sign on the dotted line. You know, Satan's satanic social insurance agency, you know, employment agency. You know, just sign on the dotted line. And you, then just, you know, you do whatever I say. You give me a certain portion of your wages every month, and I'll take care of you when you get old. Sign on the dotted line, man. You sold your soul. What is your soul? But it's your life, you know. The soul is of this life. I'm not talking about the spirit. Have you sold your spirit? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But you've sold your life. Because you, when you signed on that dotted line and said you applied for benefits, well, you were thought you were applying so that you could have permission to work. Well, yeah, you were getting permission to work, but for an employer that was already in business with the devil's agency. So you kind of knew what you were doing, but you didn't know what you were doing. Or perhaps your parents signed up for you. So you, the son or the daughter of slaves, grew up in slavery, and you didn't even know it, because all the time they're whispering in your ear, look, we're free. This is the land of the free and the home of the slave, land of the free and home of the brave. And they kept telling you over and over and pounding these words into your head while all along something else is going on. They tell you one thing, but another thing is happening, and you believe the one thing they tell you. Because if you say something often enough and long enough, then people will believe it. After all, they wouldn't lie to you, would they? Satan wouldn't try to deceive you, would he? He wouldn't come up with a cunning and diabolical plan whereby he enslaves everyone on the planet into being his debt slaves, to signing up for his benefits, forget none of his benefits. Well, I think when you sign up for someone else's benefits, I think you forgot his benefits. And that's what the term means, that we've forgotten his benefits because we signed up for someone else's benefits. We were deceived. And Moses said to his brethren, he supposed that they would have understood, but they forgot his benefits. They forgot the promises. They forgot about the promised land. They forgot about the promised redemption. They forgot his benefits. And they were only looking to the benefits of Egypt. And here we are today in spiritual Sodom, in spiritual Egypt, and we have forgotten the benefits that our forefathers acquired for us. The benefits of freedom. The benefits of being our own king. Every man is a king. No man, all men are created equal. Why do I have to go ask somebody else for permission to travel on the public ways when the law says that I have a right? Because I was deceived into signing up for someone else's benefits because someone told me and I believed them. They lied to me and they believed the lie, but does that make it true? No, a lie is still a lie. Even if the one telling you the lie believes it's true, it's still a lie. And who is the father of lies? Where did all these lies come from? And so many are trapped, and they don't want to give up the benefits because they're captured by the benefits. And oh my God, If I gave up the benefits, what would I do? I would starve. O ye of little faith, forget none of his benefits. I like what David said. He said, I have never seen the righteous go hungry or begging for bread. They didn't have the benefits of Egypt. They didn't have the righteous he was talking about. They didn't have the benefits of the state. But they never begged for bread. Why? Because they could go to their brethren. If I was hungry, I'd go to my brethren. But today, if you go to the corporate state, what do they tell you? Well, sign on the dotted line. You know, we'll sign you up with Pharaoh. We'll sign you up with Egypt, with Rome. You can get their benefits. Because we don't want to share what we have with you. All of our tax-free deductible gifts, we can't share those with you. How would we get our salaries? And how would we get our pensions? And how would we get our medical plans? We can't give that stuff away. Here, this is how you sign up for benefits from the state. That's what they're there for. That's what they'll tell you. They're there to take care of charity now. Yep. That's what the corporate state will tell you because they are the state. They have become the state. They are agents of the state. They are no longer the ecclesia, the church of the living God. They've forgotten all about his benefits because they're getting drunk on the wines of Mystery Babylon. That's what they're getting. They're drunk on the wine of Mystery Babylon. They got their pension plans, their retirement plans, and all the bills are paid, and they got their salaries, and they're doing well. And my God, if they had to sever their arrangement with the state, what would they do? Why, they would have to live by faith in a God that they don't believe in. Because if they really believed in him, they would turn from their wicked ways, and they would quit their alliance with Mystery Babylon. They would stop riding on the back of the beast like the whore that they are, and they would repent of their sins, and they would live like true prophets by faith. The just shall live by faith, not faith in the benefits of men. They would remember his benefits. They would remember his promises, and they would look forward to that retirement. Yes, my retirement will come the day I die. When I hear the trumpet sound, then I'll be retired from this labor. But until then, I'm going to work my 6 days a week and rest on the seventh, because I haven't forgotten his benefits. Nowhere in the scripture does it say, work 6 days, seventh rest, and then when you get a certain age, you stop working for the rest of your life. I'm going to tell you what happens to most people when they retire. Well, they die. A man wasn't made to sit around and do nothing. If they don't get busy and do some kind, at least work at having fun, they die. I say, if you retire from working in the world, then start working for him. Study to show yourself approved and start ministering when you retire. What, are you going to retire and just serve yourself for the rest of your life and have fun and travel and all that stuff? Is that what you worked your whole life for? Is that the benefit you're looking forward to? Is that your heaven? Is that it? And then you die? Well, if you're willing to settle for that, you know, that's good enough for you, I guess. But that ain't good enough for me. I'm going to keep working for his benefits. That's his plan. And I like it much better than the benefits of the world. Well, when we get back from the break, I'm going to jump back into Stephan, the sermon that he gave at the end of the Daniel 70th week. Don't go anywhere.